The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, so look at what Houston team's kind of interesting now. Well, they're in first place. I don't know about interesting. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the master, not here yet. He's traveling back from somewhere, but he will be here at some point. Looks like a second segment. If you want to get in today, well, we're not taking calls because we're on the road at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. But you can use that number to text the show at 713-780-3776. And also send us a message on Facebook. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Don't really check those very often, but you can do it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975, and for the foreseeable few minutes here, at producer T. Scott. You know the number to text, and it's a Monday. Let's have some fun. Kind of get the feeling everybody's still got Astros hangover, AJ.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the great hope in this town.
Yeah.
You know, if it people had seen a game or two of the Rockets and said, no, nope, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I mean, people had seen at that point six games of the Texans and said, no, nope, that ain't going to work. So we had one great hope here in this city, and it was
and they're dead.
It was dashed. I don't know what the Dynamo are up to. Are they any good or are they horrible?
They completely suck. They're awful.
Wow. Well, yeah. What about that NHL team you promised me would be here?
I said 2020.
Oh, okay.
And another year here. So, yeah, 713-780-3776. So your Texans going to Jacksonville, get a big win, and suddenly find themselves. Oh, there's my doppelganger. Doesn't look quite. They showed Doug Marrone. Doesn't look quite the same without the visor and the sunglasses.
I thought it was Jeffrey Jones.
No, he's dead too.
He's not dead.
No, he's dead.
He's not dead.
He's either dead or in prison.
I think prison. Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's funny. I've been rewatching Deadwood.
Yeah.
And seeing him on there, and it's like, oh, you sicko.
Well, there were a couple guys on there that were famous for other things. The guy who played Billy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was a doctor.
Yeah.
I got to go watch that again, especially since they're making a movie. So let's hear your thoughts on your beloved Houston Texans. All I know is you're a dummy from reading Twitter.
I'm a dummy. I've gotten into this weird thing where I shouldn't say it's me getting into it. Texans fan has gotten into this weird mode. I shouldn't say all Texans fit because some of them are reasonable and they understand that.
Actually, most of them are reasonable.
I think so.
They really are.
We've gone through this before. The year that they went 2-14, it took them a long time to come around that this was a bad football team because they started out 2-0. And you and I both said after 2-0, this is not a good football team.
No, there's some issues here.
And then it started to unravel, and it took till about 2-8 or 2-9 for people to be like, okay, you were right. They're horrible. This is different. And
it was when they got to 2-9 because at that point they couldn't get back to 500.
Yeah.
That's when people said, okay.
It's a little bit different this year because, I mean, they're on a four-game winning streak for one. They're clearly not as bad as that 2-14 team was. That'd be a tough one to match. But every week when they win, there's a handful of people who tweet at me, you still think they suck? And awkwardly, my answer is still, yeah. I mean, it didn't change because they beat the Jags, you know, using a backup quarterback half the game. I mean, it's good that they're winning. It's better than losing to really bad teams. But I'm just not sold that they're a good team. And it's going to be tough to convince me until I see them beat somebody good. What I will say is, this was the best performance the Texans have had this year. I
still think they were better in the Cowboys game. I think defensively, because what they were stopping yesterday was not Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, T.J. Yeldon is a poor man's Alfred Blue.
That's fair.
Is what he is. And I think that game, if the only real issue they had in that game was their terrible red zone performance, they get a couple touchdowns there, and that game's not close. It's not going to overtime. And they outplayed them. So I still think that's the better game. This one was pretty good. I think from a game plan perspective, I know people would have liked to have seen more out of the offense. But I thought what they did was perfect. Once you get the lead.
Just
keep running the football.
Do what the Jags do to teams.
Run the clock. And dare Blake Bortles to beat you.
Yeah.
And he couldn't. No. Dare Cody Kessler to beat you.
Blake Bortles turns the ball over. How many? Three times?
Twice on
two fumbles and
both just sloppy fumbles, not protecting the football when you're running.
One of them, I think, his own guy punched the ball out.
Yeah, but I mean, both times he had the ball up and vulnerable. Which, okay, if you're going to take off running, you got to get the thing tucked away, especially when you're laid out like that and you can't defend yourself.
And by the way, these aren't in like good spots on the field to be turning the ball over. I mean, the Jags basically handed the Texans that game. The Texans, to their credit, they did what they were supposed to do with it. And Deshaun Watson still doesn't look right, so they didn't ask him to do a lot yesterday. And that was...
But you know what? In a way, he was a difference in the game because you know what he didn't do?
He didn't turn it over.
He didn't turn it over. He almost threw one in the end zone because he always does.
He tried.
He did. He put an effort into it, but that didn't happen. But the reality is, I think the big difference between how they were playing a month ago and now is defensively... And I said this at the time. Their defense was terrible. But I do trust Romeo Crennel to figure out what the problem is and make some adjustments because we've seen this out of them in the past where they've started off just awful on defense. And then they make some little personnel switches. And in this case, I think you start to see guys getting healthier. We had a Whitney Mercilus sighting yesterday.
Yeah.
Stop the game and give somebody the game ball because he actually showed up.
And you know what? Another guy that we should mention because we mentioned him every week earlier in the season when he was a ghost, but – Jadeveon Clowney, that guy looked like a guy who's about to get paid. Yesterday, he looked like a guy who's about to get a bunch of money. And
yeah, he was terrific yesterday.
When he plays like that, I mean, you see what the buzz is with him. You know what I mean? Like, you understand why people are enamored with him because he can have games where he's just a monster. And yesterday was one of those days.
But I still can't figure out what this team is. And as I try to look at it, all right, I'm going to say yesterday was a good performance. And I know the Jaguars are struggling, especially at quarterback, but the Texans did what they needed to do to make it tough on them. Now, I'm going to defend Blake Bortles a little bit.
Oh, because, are you really?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. How many times did he have a drop pass on third and short?
He had a few. His receivers didn't do anything.
And those things change the game because that continues drives. You have more opportunities to keep the football. And I think that coupled with the fact that he had two really bad turnovers and missed some players, too. It was an easy decision to pull him. Now, apparently today they've decided he's back to being your starting quarterback.
It didn't do him any good because Cody Kessler, I mean, he threw a ball right to a guy's hands, and the guy basically threw the ball behind him and let Tyrann Mathieu pick it off. So
yeah. I think part of their problem is that they don't have much at receiver.
Right.
And I think that hurt a little bit, too. But he didn't play well, and credit to the Texans. They knew there wasn't much of a threat from Yeldon in the running game, and they did a really good job there of stuffing that, which they've done pretty well for most of the season. But as I look at the season as a whole, I would say good performance yesterday, good performance against the Cowboys. Patriots, I'm going to just throw out because they're the Patriots, and you're not supposed to go in there and beat them.
Yeah.
So let's just – okay, at Tennessee, bad.
That was a bad game.
Really bad effort. Home to the Giants, terrible, especially on defense. I think the Colts game was a bad effort. The Colts gave them that one. How bad is that going to look in a couple of weeks? Because the Colts right now should be 2-4-1.
Yeah.
You know where that would be? A game out. Because the Texans would be 3-3-1.
Yeah.
And
by the way, is there – can we agree by far the best quarterback in this division, at least this season, Andrew Luck.
No
doubt. It's not even close.
No doubt. Through seven games, absolutely.
So they'd have a pretty good shot.
And I think it's going to hold up because I don't know if Watson's going to be healthy all year at all, especially if he's driving buses to games because his lungs going to explode if he gets on a plane. And Mariota looks just like Watson. He looks like a guy who's had the crap beat out of him.
Yeah.
And so, but Lux looked good. The Colts did what they were supposed to the Bills. But the Bills game, I'll go back to that. Bills outplayed the Texans last week. I mean, it was, and
the Bills are horrible. And there's no bones about that. They're a bad football
team. They're a terrible football team. They went in, they outplayed the Texans, and then Nathan Peterman happened. And that's why they won the game. And Watson looked a lot worse last week. He looked like he was a lot more hurt than he was this week. But he did do a better job of sliding. That was a good thing to see.
Yeah.
And in the end, I mean, you're sitting here 4-3. I think the reality is the Jaguars have come back to the pack, which means the Texans are going to be right there in it because all these teams are about the same. I don't see anyone running away with this division.
I think what's really kind of amazing, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm going too far here. The Texans have a chance to win this division not just because the rest of the division is crappy, but the rest of their schedule...
It lines up pretty well.
I mean, and I shouldn't just say the rest of their schedule. Their schedule, period, could not have fallen any better for them. Essentially, the Texans' schedule, as it looks today, I mean, can we agree so far the Texans have played one good football team?
Yeah, I think.
Patriots good, right?
Patriots good.
Giants, Titans, Colts, Cowboys, Bills, Jags. Average at best.
I think Cowboys and Jags are okay, but not good right now.
Okay.
How's
well,
that?
So far they've played one team that's got a winning record and six teams that have a losing record. You know how many games they have against teams with winning records left on their schedule? One is Thursday night against the Dolphins, who I can also
no receiver.
Firmly say is not a good football team.
Every receiver on that team is now hurt. Brock Osweiler's your quarterback, and it's a short week. If you don't boat race those guys, then I think you have real issues.
So we can agree Dolphins not a good team, right?
Right.
The only other team with a winning record left on their schedule at the Washington Redskins. I mean,
yeah, I'm still not ready to punt on the Eagles yet.
No,
in the season,
but the reality is this: it could not be set up better for this team.
Well, and they have a stretch where they have three straight home games, and that's the thing. If you can go in and I heard Lance talking about this today, you go in and win at Denver or Washington, one of those two, and take care of your home games, you could actually be sitting at 8-4.
And
isn't that ridiculous to think?
It would be the most fraudulent 8-4 team in the history of the NFL. And that's not me trying to be like shock jock radio guy and just be like, oh, the Texans are winning, but they suck. No, like I'm watching these games, and there's no way you can look at this team and tell me, oh, yeah, they could hang in a playoff game against insert team A here. I just don't see it. I don't see it. The way they've played, I can't picture them beating a good team.
At this stage, no, but I will – the one thing I will say is they have improved enough on defense to be competitive with some teams. Although it's kind of hard.
But
to
what good offenses have they played?
Well, that's
they played the best offenses. The only even respectable offenses that they've played: Indianapolis and the Patriots.
Yeah, well, see, that's where I'm. I mean, at least they've done it consistently now for 3 weeks of good defense. I mean, I thought the Cowboys, they played good defense against, but the Cowboys' offense struggles on the road,
right?
Especially at that part of the season. They were struggling a lot more. The Bills, that doesn't count. If you can't stop the Bills.
I mean, with Nathan Peterman?
Yeah, well, either guy. I mean, Josh Allen's a turd, too. And then And then Jacksonville with no receivers, no running backs, and Blake Bortles. You should be good against those. But
I can't wait to see the all 22. I want to see, I've got to decide if Blake Bortles is better or worse than Cody Kessler. I'm not sure.
Well, you've always had a soft spot for Cody Kessler, but I think you always have a soft spot for any USC quarterback.
I just think Cody Kessler hasn't gotten a real fair shake in this
game. I think Cody Kessler is a really decent backup quarterback.
That's what I think, too. I think that might be better than Blake Bortles.
Yeah. Boy, that's saying a lot. But you know what? You can bet on it if you want. Hey, I saw that you can bet on an over-under on how many baskets Raheel's going to make on my bookie. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, he's going to shoot 25. And is that right? Why are you doing the... Oh, yeah, of course I'm going under. The number's 13.5. And here's what's going
to happen. Are these free throws?
No, three-pointers. Under is a lock. They're NBA three-pointers. And here's why.
Under's an absolute lock.
And here's
why.
Bet on and Raheel, yeah. And Raheel, I know you're listening, but when you get to 12, if you get to 12 and you got about five left, you're going to be thinking about that over so much. That basket's going to look as big as a cup.
And it makes you tired shooting threes, man.
I mean, I have no doubt that if you were just doing this without people betting on it, I'm pretty sure 3 out of 6 times he could go over.
But I'm
totally
on
the under. And whatever the max bet they're going to allow us for that is,
that's
I'm going under.
Yeah,
and it's no disrespect to you, Raheel.
It is.
But I do want you to think about what I'm saying right now as you're driving around, that when you get to 12, suddenly it's going to hit you that, uh-oh. I got to get two more of these, or the people who believed in me are going to be heartbroken. And not only that, broken money-wise, too. So, you know, just keep that in mind when you get to 12, how important it is for you to make those last two. And, you know, just be thinking about that. That's all. But there's a lot of stuff you can bet on iBookie, which I love this website. I've been using it for a couple years now for all kinds of things. I use it for my NFL bets, my college football bets. You want to get Monday Night Football tonight, you got it. If you bet baseball, you got it. If you bet hockey, like I do sometimes, you got that too. CFL, horses are on there. Any fights, any big fights are on there. Just whatever you want to bet. And the cool thing is they're safe, they're reliable, they've been in business for years. What I like best about them is that when I've cashed out, I've been able to get my money. And that's not always the case in some of these other places. So that's a big part. There's no gamble to put your money in knowing you can get it out. In-game live betting, so if you miss the start of a game, you're good there. I actually did that on a game the other night where a team was behind, and I got in there, live bet them at a plus price, and they came through. One of the few things that came through for me this weekend, but it did. Real simple. Go to mybookie.ag or go to your computer or mobile phone and Google MyBookie and get your account started. Right now, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar for dollar match on your deposit. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Just Google MyBookie today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
All right, guys, if your job is sucking the life out of you, it's time to wake up. You can do something else. IT, I know what you're thinking. I don't know anything about math or science. They don't care about that. There's no excuses. It's not rocket science. It's my computer career. Helping people start an IT career, that's their thing. If you don't absolutely love what you do, change it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Attend classes on campus or live online just 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career, guys. It's more than a school, too. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes are starting up soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. Mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz live here at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. You can come out. They got a nice bar here. Sit here and watch the game tonight. Get your food on. you can come meet Holly. That ought to give you a reason to come out here.
Is she going
to
be here all day?
Well, she's going to be here until
Lord.
Until her little running buddy.
What did I do to deserve this? Why are you punishing me?
Because I can. It's just, you know, I'm
management.
You know, I'm a sadist. No. I like to hurt people.
Thanks, management.
Yeah, really cool place. So come on out. We're here tonight. We're out Thursday on 290 on Bombshells, and then Friday we're in Beaumont. I'm actually toying with the idea of going straight from Beaumont to Coushatta Friday night and spending the weekend.
Oh, look at you.
Well, there's no
without the wife?
It's 50-50 on whether she's going.
Hindsight is also 50-50.
I know. Hindsight's great. Yeah, I'm not saying which side of that I'm rooting for.
Okay.
But yeah, I figure no Texans game Sunday. I won't have to do anything for Sports Map, so it'd be a good weekend to get the hell out of town.
That's a good point, sir. That's a good point. So it's a weekend to do what you want.
Yeah, which I have not had one of those in quite a while.
There you go.
So thinking about doing that.
How was the pub crawl? I didn't hear from you. Did you die?
No, actually, we had a great time. Lot of blitzers. It was a lot of fun.
Did you see anybody throw up?
No, I didn't. And I have to tell you is. I was hanging out with Brooks and the Thrive Plus guys and Lawyer Dave and some of those cats. And
it's always good to go out and get publicly drunk while your lawyer's there. That's the best guy to have around.
That's a plus. But, man, I did my Thrive, and I was fine. And the next – well, we had a little after party at our place. And when I got up, there were people still passed out.
Oh.
And I'm up at like 6:30. I go for a run. I take the dog out, and I'm like, man.
Even that day you did?
Yeah, man. I felt great. I'm telling you, Thrive is magic. I don't have a live read for Thrive today, but I wish I did.
How fast did you start feeling tipsy after that long off of drinking?
You know what? I paced myself really well because I didn't want to just start loading up early because I knew how that would go.
You drank only beer, right?
No, I drank I had a couple beers early, and then I switched to just vodka water, and I drank a lot of water while I was doing it. Yeah, I drank a lot of water while I was doing it, and never really got sloppy until, when I got home. I didn't drink when I got home, but I had, some other stuff, and so I kind of was like, all right, I'm going to bed, and that was it. But it was a good time, man. We'll do it again. That thing's only going to get bigger and better. Everybody seemed to love it. And the bars were great. It was a cool time. A good time was had by all.
Good deal.
And next time we have to get David Gal there, though.
Oh, that'd be a good time.
Yeah, because we'll make it a mission to get David Gal drunk. But, no, it was great, and I appreciate everybody who came out, got to chat with a lot of blitzers. Man, love you guys so much for supporting us on things like that. And I hope you guys had as good a time as we did. So. I'm 4-9 asking, we're at Beaumont Friday. Been a blitzer for a couple of years, never been to one of the shows. We'll be at Luke's. So, busy week for us, and, come on out if you're there, and come on out tonight, man. Great place by the way, Holly's video just popped up on my screen. So, her video's up on Sports Map. Interesting. It says, here's why your team is trash. So.
Is this an Eagles video?
I'm pretty sure it's all every team in the league that didn't win yesterday. But, getting back to the Texans, a lot of people ask, should they be on the phone for Patrick Peterson? I would be, but you know what? I've come up with something that I think is a better option if you're going to make a trade.
Okay.
I would be on the phone today with the San Francisco 49ers and making an offer for Joe Staley. He's 34 years old, so you'd get him for – you'd get quality play at that position for 2, maybe 3 years at that age.
Yeah.
49ers at this point, their season's dead. If they could get some draft picks and rebuild for next year – now, part of it is they may want to keep him next year thinking they can compete.
Right.
And have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, they feel like they're just kind of snake bit this year, but they feel like they've got the tools to compete.
But
I were them, I'm looking at the Rams, I'm thinking it might take us a couple of years to get to there.
Yeah, so but if I'm the Texans, I make that call. And I say, all right, would you take my second round pick for him?
I think that's a reasonable
offer. Pretty fair, right?
Yeah, very
fair.
Okay,
so Brian Gain, I know you're listening because you always listen to the show. Make that call. Because that would not make – I think that would make a huge difference. Now, the offensive line was better yesterday. They did some things to protect Watson, mainly in the play calling. Everything was he did some little things yesterday that I really liked. Besides the sliding, there were a few times where it was like, okay, just don't take a chance with a football here. Just throw it away. Your defense is playing great. We're going to make Blake Kessler beat us.
Yeah.
And You know, so there were some times where he could have tried to complete a pass, but it would have put the pass in danger. So, I mean, it was a game manager type of effort. So while he wasn't great and the numbers weren't great, for that game, I liked what he did. And they got a win.
Yeah.
So, Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. That happened today.
Yeah, that's for a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I asked you before the show started, how many receivers would you give up a first-round draft pick for? I was thinking five or six is about
I think
the line.
Max seven or eight, depending on contract and things like that. But, I mean, A.J. Green, yeah, I'd give you a first-rounder for him.
Yeah.
Julio?
Yeah.
DeAndre?
Antonio Brown.
DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown. Beckham?
Yeah, he's a pain in the ass.
He is a pain in the ass, but he's a first-round talent, no question. How much deeper are we getting now?
That's what I'm saying. How many more guys you go, oh, yeah, for sure. That guy's he's a first-round guy. I don't know that there are any more. So.
Yeah, I'm just.
I mean, I think there's some guys who are borderline.
I don't think he's borderline.
I don't think he's borderline either.
But if I'm the Raiders and you call and offer me a first-round pick, I'm like,
I'm jumping at it.
Yeah, okay, sure. We'll throw in a six-pack.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a really odd choice, in my opinion. I guess the Cowboys are desperate, though. To me, Amari Cooper at this point he's looked worse than Dez Bryant. You know, look what Dez Bryant was last year. You're telling me Amari Cooper's better than that? I haven't seen it.
No.
And now you're
I mean, they might even be the same guy. Why don't you just go back and get the one that you don't have to give up a pick for?
Well, and you're downgrading your quarterback. I mean, you're downgrading his quarterback. Is that going to make him better? Probably not. I don't know. I don't get it.
So he says Adam Thielen. I'm not giving up a first for Adam Thielen.
I wouldn't either. Adam Thielen's a nice player, and he's having a hell of a season, but he's also part of a ridiculous offense and has another really talented guy standing across from him. Just like those guys, you know, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, these guys in L.A. that are having an awesome season. They are having an awesome season, but I don't think I'm giving up a first-rounder for those guys. They're part of an awesome offense.
Didn't the Patriots trade a first-rounder for Cooks when they got him?
Was it a first-rounder?
Yeah, I think it was the last pick of the first round, but still counts the first-round pick. See, I'm not quite sure what's going on there with Dallas, but, hey, I guess when you're desperate, you're desperate. What was that? I heard something in my head there. Oh, you're back, Jong.
Thanks, Jong. Welcome back to the party.
Yeah. We missed you.
Jong's out gallivanting around every weekend now. He can't make it in for work. That's his new thing.
AJ, he's become very famous.
Oh, trust me. I know. I know. Let me tell you guys about Bill Advisor. If you have, you know, monthly recurring bills, and we all do, cell phone, pay television, internet, electricity, home and auto insurance, you're overpaying. And you might think, I'm not overpaying. I got a great deal when I signed up. You probably did. But now you're getting the loyal customer rate. And the loyal customer rate, it ain't as good as the new customer rate, which is kind of weird, but that's how companies work. Bill Advisor thinks that's nonsense. They're out to save you some money. They're going to work directly with your providers to reduce your monthly rates, not give up service or data or speed, just lower your bill. And they're winning for hundreds of our listeners. They guarantee they're going to save you at least $300, guaranteed from the start. Most of our listeners are saving over $800. Many are saving well into the thousands. Guys, you could be next on that list. Start saving now. Text the word GO to 232323. Your personal Bill Advisor is going to get your information and start working for you. One more time, just text GO to 232323, and Bill Advisor is going to get your information and get to work. BillAdvisor.com, click Start Saving.
Ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today.
All right, let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. Aubrey, how's it going, man?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. It's a perfect time of year to preempt the holiday rush. Dial 281 Dirt Free, 281 347-8373. Spell out dirt free with those little numbers under the key, under the digits. That's what they're for. Dial 281 dirt free. We'll come out to your home with a $100,000 machine. We'll start in the worst area. It is absolutely the most advanced system in the world for cleaning. Carpet, tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, even wool rugs. Those pesky wool rugs sitting there on top of the wood floor, we can take care of. The marble travertine, 281 dirt free. Let us come out to your home, get the job done without soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. Make sure you're impressed with that worst area, then we'll do the whole job. Three rooms carpet cleaner, $100. Let's give away a $100 free speed dry. Everybody that dials 281 dirt free, get a reduced rate and get a $100 free service thrown in. 281 dirt free, dirtfreecarpet.com. It doesn't matter what service you're interested in, we will have a special for every one of you, from air ducts to leather sofas. 281 dirt free, dirtfreecarpet.com.
All right, that's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week, Aubrey.
Thanks, guys.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. And the Hawk security guys are here, so if you want to figure out how to get your home taken care of, stop by and see them.
These are them, huh?
Yeah. Back in studio, we have Lance Serline, who I always love running into Lance in the morning. We always wind up talking poker. Pretty funny. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Did Fred tell you about my melt on Friday?
When I left at 16. Okay, I was 16. I decided to push. I had King 10. I decided to push from early positioning, and so I got knocked out. And you were still in it. And I thought, well, AJ made money.
Yeah, AJ didn't make money.
What happened? I did not hear.
I went out in 11th.
Oh, the stink hole
again.
With the
second time now.
With the third biggest stack in the tournament.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You had the third biggest, and then you went out?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to hear how. Actually, I do. He's already heard from enough people.
Yeah. Listen.
What did you hear
from
people?
I'll tell you off the air one day. I mean, it's not a fun story. I just made a stupid mistake, and I get overly aggressive when I've got a lot of chips late in tournaments, and I need to stop thinking that way, because like Fred said this to me the other day, he's like, in these tournaments, your goal isn't to win the tournament, you know, like it is in Vegas.
Yeah.
In Vegas, my goal is to win the tournament.
It's to get in the
cash.
At
these tournaments, it's to get to the chop.
That's it.
Which it inevitably chops at this place. So, I played it wrong, and it cost me probably about $1,500.
Oh, yeah, I played just to get to the chop. That's all I play for.
Well, you live, you learn, Lance. You learn.
So we were just talking about this, about how many receivers in the league would you trade a first-round pick for? And I think we came up with five originally, and then Tariq Hill, somebody mentioned. I would probably
It's not
it
Amari Cooper. That wasn't one.
It's not Amari Cooper. So I came up with six total. And I've heard some names beyond that, and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Devontae Adams, nope.
No.
Mike Evans, nope. I mean, these are good players. Keenan Allen, nope.
You know, it also depends on who you're talking about. Like, Mike Evans would be someone who, just off the top of my head, you know, I'm trying to think of Mike Evans might be somebody who Jacksonville would be interested in, for example, because they don't really have a big-time receiver. They don't have a big-time running back. I know they've already given up a pick for Carlos Hyde. I mean, I'm not saying they would do that, but Mike Evans is one of those guys I think that would be an interesting conversation for the right team, because I do think he's a true wide receiver one.
I think to me, the guys that I'd be willing, or if I'm the, when I talk about Mike Evans or guys like that,
yeah.
If I'm a good football team, like, and I think I'm maybe a player away, like the Patriots did with Brandon Cooks, they thought that Brandon Cooks could put him over the top. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But if you're like a team that's maybe I'll make the playoffs, maybe I won't. I'm not giving up first round picks for questionable wide receivers, because
no.
That's too valuable.
Yeah, wait. Remember when Dallas gave up two firsts for Joey Galloway? When
yes.
When Jerry Jones was literally just guessing about how football worked? That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. And then Seattle did something stupid like that with Deion. What was his name that Tom Brady made a fortune?
Deion Brady.
Who?
No, Deion Branch.
Deion Branch. You know, Seattle did stupid stuff. It's hard. I'm kind of with you, AJ. It's hard for me to get behind the concept of a first-round pick for a wide receiver when I know how many teams don't even value wide receivers as first-round picks in the draft. So, you know, that's a little bit tricky. But I do think the right guy can help turn certain teams around. But, you know, I don't see Dak Prescott and Dallas turning around because they have Amari Cooper. I just don't. I think that's a bad football move to give up a first for him.
I threw out a trade earlier. I would like to get your opinion as an NFL genius, and it involves an offensive lineman. Mm. I would be, if I'm Brian Gain, well, I changed my hairstyle, but I'm on the phone today calling the San Francisco 49ers and asking if they'll trade me Joe Staley.
Huh.
Because the reality is he's 34 years old. They're, you know, I'm sure they think they can get right back into it next year. But, you know, if you're the Texans, I might give up a second-round pick for a guy like that who comes in and solidifies my offensive line for 2 years.
Ah, man, a second's so expensive for a two-year rental.
Maybe three. You might get three out of him.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to see what his contract situation looked like.
Well, he's a free agent 2020.
Yeah.
So he's UFA or unrestricted free agent in 2020.
So you only have this year.
You get a year and a half out of him, and then you'd have to pay him.
Nah, it's not a second rounder for a year and a half rental. But I see where you're going, Fred. And I that would be an interesting call for I don't know what the – they got McGlinchey on one side. I don't know what the swing tackle spot looks like over there for them. But with no Jimmy Garoppolo, I see where you're going with it. Now they can also hang on to him, let him eventually walk, and get a third round, a third rounder within the third.
That's why I'm giving you a two.
Yeah. Golly.
I guess second rounders, you're going to blow one of them, so why not trade him?
I guess the thought could be also that you, if you think he's good enough to play beyond that, you give him an extension that would basically pay him for another couple of years. Yeah, then I would definitely consider it. If you do your scouting and you think he hasn't lost much of a step with what he's doing, he's playing good football, maybe you consider it, because you got to think that window of opportunity right now for the Texans. At least the current window would include while JJ's still healthy and playing, and while you have Jadeveon Clowney, which they could just decide to franchise him for a year next year. So, yeah, I see where you're going with it. I mean, you got to answer some questions. You need to know, how's he playing right now? You have to go study that and get with your advanced scouts and your pro personnel department and say, hey, go take a real close look at Staley and tell me what you think of him now versus a couple years ago. But that is an interesting. Trying to cherry pick off someone else's roster who's maybe, looking to rebuild. Now, I don't think they do it for a third, so you're probably right. It probably would take a second.
Well, let me ask you another question. We were talking about the Texans' schedule thus far. How many games do you think the Texans have played so far against what you would consider good football teams?
I mean, it looks like one. I would have told you two with Jacksonville, but that didn't look like a good football team yesterday.
At this point, it looks like one, right?
Yeah. I'm sure y'all said the same thing.
Yeah. Do you have the rest of their schedule in front of you?
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, I looked at it this morning.
How many good teams do you see in front of them?
Not Brock. Not Denver. I think Denver is an average team that can beat you, but they haven't lived up to the to their name recognition. Titans aren't a good team. You play Jacksonville again. You play the Colts again. I'm telling you, we did this game too, where you look at the schedule and you're like, oh my gosh, 8-4 is entirely reasonable if you can go get a win either at Denver or at Washington. It really is very reasonable that 8-4 is this strength of schedule is looking like a farce, which, good for the Texans.
The only teams currently on the Texans' full 16-game schedule that have a winning record right now, New England is one, the Dolphins are two, and the Redskins are three. That's it.
Wow.
I think we can all agree the Dolphins are not a good football team, right?
Nah, the Dolphins stink.
So where do you – if you were power ranking the NFL, where do the Texans fall?
Well, I still can't – like, their offense, that was as – Their offense still isn't very dangerous to me, relatively speaking. I mean, they didn't do a whole lot through the air. I like the way they ran the ball. I liked what they did against Jacksonville. They got physical and punched a physical team in the mouth. I like it a lot. That's really great. But when you stack them against other teams and see how likely they are to win, I mean, I still think, believe it or not, you're right there in about the middle of the pack, which the Texans are always about in the middle of the pack. And I'm being kind of gracious to them because, honestly, I think some teams have fallen a little short of the mark, and I don't see an explosive offense right now. But you do have to respect the defense, I think. Granted, you haven't had a great challenges against them, but I do think the defense is – kind of starting to wire it up a little bit and show something up front, and the corners have played better. So, and the safeties are starting to get acclimated. So, but you, I don't, you know, you wouldn't beat the Ravens, you wouldn't beat the Saints, two teams who played Rams. No one's even in the Rams, and I don't think anyone's even in the Kansas City Chiefs territory. I know the New England Patriots came back and beat them, but all that game reinforced to me is that Kansas City's ready to win right now.
I think Rams, Saints, Pats, Chiefs, Vikings. That's about the list of like teams that I'm sure are good.
Yeah, you got other teams you're not sure, and you're not sure
like
on
Chargers,
Carolina, right?
Steelers,
Carolina, 5-2.
Baltimore is much like the Texans. Different than the Texans because Baltimore's elite on one side of the ball,
right?
And then questionable on the other. I just don't, you know, even Green Bay. I don't know if Green Bay is any good.
Well, stick to – forget the macro view of who the best team in the NFL is or, you know, where the Texans fit in. That's that. We know they're not in that conversation. But where are they, relatively speaking, to the division? We know they're in the lead right now. But I don't really think it's unreasonable to say they win the division now. And I would have never said that when they were 0-3, ever.
I wouldn't have thought that either. But the way that the season's unfolded and the way their schedule is lining up, it's completely reasonable. And Fred was talking about going back to Frank Reich's decision to play for a win instead of a tie. If Frank Reich plays for the tie there, he's a half game out of first place right now with the best quarterback in the league or best quarterback in the division
yeah.
by far.
Yeah.
By far.
Well, one game because they'd still be a game behind the Texans.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
It'd
so
be
it'd be
2-4-1 and 3-3-1.
2-4-1, 3-3-1.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they'd still be right there in it. As it stands, they're still – I mean, they're two games out. I guess it's not crazy to think that they're out of it. But none of these teams are good, and the Texans are currently in the lead. So, to me, it's absolutely possible that they win this division.
Yeah, there's no question that there's a decent chance they win. There's a pretty good chance they win the division right now. When you look at where – I mean, I think the team that is one of the most dangerous teams, honestly, from a standpoint of knocking you off, are the Colts. Believe it or not, because
they've got a quarterback.
They got a quarterback. Marlon Mack is back. They got some injuries on both sides of the ball that are actually going to. You got some guys who are going to start getting healthy. The Colts got themselves. They could have beat Philadelphia and they didn't. They had a shot at Houston and didn't. They really hurt themselves there, but. Yeah, Jacksonville, the way they're playing right now, that looks like a team who doesn't look like they want to be there. There's the wrong guys in the room, is my guess.
They look like the worst team in the division.
They really did. That touchdown run over the right guard where Greg Manch just caved in Aubrey Jones, like that's supposed to be some fearsome defensive front, and they look like they didn't even want to be there.
How much of that is, okay, we know we can't win with this clown at quarterback?
Well, I mean, if that's what it is, you have a very mentally weak team, and you're irrelevant anyway. I mean, if you just give up because let me tell you who didn't do that was the 2000 Ravens. The 2000 Ravens knew they didn't have a quarterback, and guess what they did? Just went out and won games single-handedly. So if your quarterback gets you so down that you can't even play against the Houston Texans offensive line, then just quit football and quit life.
What was your worst?
By the way, I had
weekend?
The Jags in our contest, tells you what I know. So I'm a little heated at him. I'm glad the Texans won.
What was your worst beat this weekend?
How about Ravens minus -3?
Yeah, that's mine too.
And I got a chance for a push or a win.
Yeah, Justin Tucker.
How about a teaser with the Colts and the Eagles? Is that a good one?
I was just saying the Eagles it might have been the grossest one for me because they were up 17-0
yeah.
going into the fourth and just basically laid down on the field. I mean, it's just embarrassing.
Isn't that horrible?
Oh, like I said, I don't know who's good. It goes back to that. And I know a lot of people, including Fred, he was pretty high on the Chargers, and they just laid down and let the Titans cover. It's like teams – but my worst beat yesterday was the Chiefs over when Andy Reid gets to the 5-yard line and just decides, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to kick this field goal.
I texted him and said Hoffman has the over, so he's like, I'm not
screwing
him.
Oh, so vile.
Yeah. Well, you knew – like, that's not the first time that's ever happened. You knew he wasn't going to just put a field goal on anyone. That team can beat – that team feels like – right now they feel like Alabama to me. Although they're not – you know, defensively they clearly have some holes. I just don't see a hole in Pat Mahomes. This doesn't feel like it's going to end.
He's so much better than I thought he would be. I mean, he's really impressive. I've been wowed by him so far.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think anytime you have a player like that who has that level of confidence and then you have a premier play caller slash offensive designer in Andy Reid, and then you've got around them unique talent in Travis Kelce and you know, Tariq Hill is another unique talent. I mean, Kareem Hunt is a good running back, and DeAnthony Thomas is interesting, and Sammy Watkins, and, you know, not Sammy Watkins. Yeah, no, Sammy Watkins. And, you know, the other guys are fine, but you just have rare players in Kelce and Tariq Hill, and yet the play caller and the offensive designer understands how to use them. And Andy's special in that way. Like, Andy Reid is one of the best that's ever done it. For unique quarterbacks, and he just happened to find the right guy to unlock his offense.
That's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench from 7 to 9 every morning. And, Lance, before we let you go, this Raheel over-under 13.5 3-point thing.
Oh, that was way too high.
It's a lock under, right?
It's got to be. But, you know, he sent them. He went and shot, and he's got an app on his phone that can gather. It's kind of cool. It, like, tracks your – where you shoot from, and so he went and shot shots, and so he must have made like that total or near that total for them to put that number up there. I would fire on it. I don't care. When it's for the money, I'm going under. And there's another prop bet: will he make three consecutive NBA length three-pointers in a row? And no is minus 400, but I think that's a lock too. That's hard to do. I shot at Toyota Center, made 9 of 25 in a contest. Which I was pretty happy with because I didn't make any in the first. I think I made one. I think I made two total in the first two, and then over the whatever the next three, I ended up making 7 out of 15. So I was happy at the end. But making three in a row is incredibly hard.
Dude, I made like I did this at the Austin Toros or when they had their. I guess they still do have the G League team there, but they had me out shooting against some random fan. I made 4 shots out of 20. Four.
It's not easy.
And, like, after about 10 shots, you start getting tired. Like, you're having to, like, really chuck it up there.
You got to use your legs, and then you got to – and if you're playing – and, like, it's got to go a lot from the legs. And then you're – I'm a pretty good shooter from distance. I mean, that's what I used to always do. But if you don't have your legs under you and you're not getting a lot of arc on the ball to help you get your distance, and then if you have to play in an arena at all, it really throws off your sense of – you know, if the backdrop is expansive, man, I'm telling you, it's really hard. Now, Raheel's going to be shooting in a regular gym, like the Met. So that's actually going to be a little easier. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, though? If I could go out there and nobody's guarding me and it's just me and they're clocking to see how many I can make, I'd do just fine. When there's money on the line and I know if I don't make a certain amount, a bunch of people are going to lose. Of course, I'd bet the under on me even if you set it at 4 and then tank. But I think that number's way too high.
Like, who's going to bet the over?
Raheel.
Maybe not.
I mean,
I'm him, I bet the under on myself. And then if I get it to 13, I'm just going to short it just a little. But that's me.
Yeah, I'm going to short it just a little. Raheel on the dump. He's got everyone taking action on the under.
Yeah.
That sounds like something happened at a pool hall at the Sports Palace when I used to live in New Orleans. Like, you never knew who to get action on in one pocket because, you know, I'd come to find out later on that they were working together and I'd find out from a guy in the pool, no, don't get action on this one. You know, this guy's in the other guy's pocket, you know. Like, somebody would stake horse a guy in one of the pool tournaments that they would have. This is a big-time pool hall. And, like, yeah. you know, as a 250 buy-in and then, you know, some guy behind the scenes, you'd start to whisper, yeah, he's going to dump on the – he's going to dump the next one. You know, he's going to bury the stake horse and he and the other guy are going to share the money. And I'm like, holy crap. That's where I learned not to trust anybody was New Orleans.
Well, I bet you can trust your friends at Texas Star Foods.
I can now, I will say this. If they were in New Orleans, I would have questions about it. But because they're in Houston, I have no question that Rick and Michelle Martin are going to take care of me. And here's how I know. Because my first Traeger I got from them, then I got Green Mountain, and then a Memphis. And I can tell you, they all work great, as does the brand-new heavy-duty Pits and Spits. The Pits and Spits model is something that everyone's been very excited about, the name and the brand and the company and the way they do things. Well, guess what? They now have they've now improved to me because they've now added the wood pellet feature. So get all your favorite smoke, whether it's, you know, mesquite or hickory or apple, alder, pecan. You can find that. But they make it so easy with all these different types of wood pellets because you set your temperature and it stays there. And I don't care if you're doing beef ribs, if you're doing brisket, if you're doing, baby back ribs, burger, steaks. I've done them all. Beef tenderloin is off the charts at Christmas time because you put that thermometer in there and you plug it into the grill where you got a digital readout and it will beep at you and it says, okay, you've reached the right internal temperature and it comes out perfect every single time. Let Rick and Michelle Martin over at Texas Grill Shop help you become a pit master. They can do it with several different types of grills, not just the wood pellet grills. All you have to do is go to TexasGrillShop.com or stop in at the Louetta location or right there off of 59 at Greenbrier Shepherd. It's TexasGrillShop.com. Take advantage of their awesome fall sale today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.